The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and I can't believe it. It's already June. Here we are, June 1st, Thursday. And round number one of the Memorial Tournament, presented by Nationwide, has already begun, and they're getting out at Muirfield Village in Dublin, Ohio. Jack's Tournament, of course, and a very, very big field. We'll give you an update, at least in the early going of the first round of what's happening there. I will say this, that some big guys are doing pretty well so far. Bubba Watson, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, Phil Mickelson, all under par, as we're, again, very, very early. Nobody's even made the turn yet at nine, so we'll talk a little bit more about that. And Jack had some words about several different topics that we'll mention as we continue the show. With us, as always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. How's everything going, Frank, in Nashville?
It's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Oh, why is that?
The Predators lost, so we're two down.
Yes, they did.
To the Penguins. And tonight at 6:45, I have to be on a show in Pittsburgh to discuss where the visiting Conquerors are going to get to play golf in Nashville, Tennessee, while they're down here kicking our fannies. So, no, I'm not a happy
really
camper.
I thought somebody wanted you to talk hockey or something in Pittsburgh. I'm like, really, Frank?
No.
The Ole Miss guy is going to talk hockey.
No. But I'll have to wear a Penguins. I'll have to wear a Penguins jersey, and it'll be tweeted out. So, if we lose.
It could get ugly.
It could get really ugly. Well, anyway.
Joining us as well, and we want to get to him because Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf will be sitting in for Hank a little bit later today on the Sirius XM show. Steve, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great, guys.
Hey, I'm just curious, what are you guys talking about today's show? I guess swing changes, Muirfield Village,
what hockey. Well, we've got a couple topics, and really, you know, it's a call-in
hockey
show, so the listeners really dictate which direction we go. I mean, I've been listening this morning on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio, and everyone's talking Tiger Woods still. And Michael Breed's show right now is,
really?
Is talking with Scotty Cameron, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time before they start talking Tiger Woods. Sad, very sad occurrences. And, you know, as we know, we've all watched the 1 hour, 38-minute videotape of Tiger Woods in his dashboard cam, the police officers taking him through the sobriety tests, questioning him. I mean, you got to admire the professionalism of the officers, too. You know, I know they knew who he was, but he is a big guy, and you don't know what's in the guy's system. And you know what? You look at how big Tiger is. He looks like a linebacker. And, you know, no telling what was in his system. If he, you know, had rage or you know, got upset or something like that, that could be, you know, it could get ugly out there. But fortunately, he wasn't. He was very cooperative with the police officers. And, you know, it's just sad.
It really
that,
is.
A young Tiger Woods that was built up by his father is the image and persona of a Tiger Woods, almost an image that it was impossible to live up to. And we can see that now. He's human, and he makes mistakes just like all of us. Fortunately, no one got injured. Is out of it as he was, guys. I mean, it's a miracle that he didn't hurt himself.
Yeah, and you know what, the other thing too, and Frank, we talked about this before, that we're still not clear, and we're going to get more and more, and this is the unfortunate part for Tiger, the story won't go away because there's more things coming out, like the dash cam video. We're going to find out eventually what was in his system from the test he took that night at the police station. We're also still curious, aren't we, Frank, about where he was going, where he was coming from? We don't seem to have those answers yet, do we?
Yeah, no, we don't, and I will tell you, and I apologize, but I'm from my home studio today, and Bogey the Wonder Dog has decided to join in the conversation in the background here. You know, one observation very quickly. It's sad. I refuse to watch it. I don't want to see it. Why in the world does that really need to be out there? Although it's public domain, still, don't want to see it. Not interested. Number two, my closest friend in the world is a physician. We grew up together. And he made some comments to me about the fact that if he were taking the drugs that he said he was taking and had taken an Ambien or taken some, as we know, Tiger has allergies. So an allergy pill, and I have allergies, and there are only certain allergy pills I can mix with anything I take, that it could have sent him into a state of not knowing where he is or what he's doing. And Bobby told me that, Bobby, my best friend who's a doctor, said he could have... He's had patients that would just get in their car and just go driving and not even know it and wake up and say, where am I? What's going on? So, you know, kick them when they're down is just not anything I'm really happy about. And it's sad.
I'm not one to kick a guy while he's down either, but let's not paint Tiger Woods into being a victim here. I mean, he's been taking pain meds and had many surgeries, multiple surgeries for the last 10
Long
years.
Time, yeah. You're right.
He has had allergies throughout his whole adult life. That this would be the first time that he would recognize that would be a dangerous mixture, Frank, I think that's being very naive.
Yeah.
I think that is enabling anyone that does something like that to continue with that behavior. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It was getting behind the wheel. A person that is as intelligent as Tiger Woods is, that values his body as much as he does.
Yeah.
Do you think that this was the first time that this happened?
No. And I guess I am being a little, you know, it just really, it distressed me to see it. You know the guy very well, much better than I do. So maybe I am being a little Pollyannish about it. But like Jack Nicklaus said, and he said it again in another interview, if Tiger does have a problem with opioids because of all the surgeries and he needs some help, there are a lot of people who would step up and help him in a heartbeat. So, you know,
right.
Got to say a little prayer for the guy.
And hopefully this will be...
The key to that issue is, does he want help? Does he think that he needs help? I mean, I've been down this road with friends many times, and addiction is a tough road to battle.
It is.
You know, they talk about hitting rock bottom. They talk about, you know, the ability to change behavior. And it's a day-at-a-time type procedure, Frank. It's not something that you can just turn away from. It's a daily battle.
Yeah, I understand.
I have two
friends, and I won't mention any names here, lifelong friends who are both alcoholics. I mean, I'm talking alcoholics. And it took a heart attack for one of them to finally turn his life around, and a life-changing event for the other one, a death. So you're right. They had to hit rock bottom, and then they said, you know, I need to change my life. And I don't know. I just hate this kind of stuff.
And we'll see what the combination of pills, if that's what it is. We do have to be clear about this, that he did take a breathalyzer test. It showed zeros for alcohol.
Exactly.
So he was being honest when he said, you know what, I haven't been drinking. No, I haven't. Which, of course, I'm sure the officers were like, well, really? Because you suspect the way he was acting. If you see the dash cam video, he had to tie his shoes first, and he could barely put his foot on the bumper to tie his shoes. And he was very wobbly. Wasn't sure where he was. Not sure how to – the instructions about saying the alphabet. He thought that they wanted him to sing the national anthem. So on and on. There were a number of things that gave a lot of indications that he wasn't all there. The other question, too, is, you know, his car had damage. He had two flat tires. He had damage on the side of his car and in the back. Like, he hit something somewhere, and he was up on the curb when they finally found him, car running and asleep at the wheel. You're wondering what he might have run into and where he was going. So that all again, there's so many more questions that are going to come out that we'll eventually, I guess, probably get the answers to. And when you're world famous like Tiger Woods, these are the things that follow you. Again, we're talking with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf, and he was around Tiger an awful lot during the days when Hank was coaching Tiger. Sleeping was a problem for Tiger even back then, Steve, wasn't it? That he always had troubles with his sleeping, took some medicine to help him sleep and whatnot, but he would get up very early, wouldn't sleep much at all through a lot of nights. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm not sure that he medicated every night, Tim. I know that Hank would tell me that he was a very light sleeper. He would sleep about 4 hours a night. He had problems staying asleep. So, I mean, I know occasionally he would take something to help him sleep. I don't know if that was the case this time. The thing that really distresses me is, you know, I watched the tape last night. 1 hour, 38 minutes of video. And even the Golf Channel just, you know, I mean, obviously they can't do the whole tape, but they did excerpts of the tape. And I've heard people call in at PGA Tour Radio this morning, and a lady called in. She said, you know what? Tiger Woods didn't even have any shoes on. Well, maybe he just was laying on the couch and he had to go get something. And, you know, he wasn't planning on going outside. Well, the real story is he did have his shoes on when the police officer stopped him.
Right.
One of his shoes was untied. So the police officer, when he got out of the car, the police officer didn't want Tiger to hurt himself. He said, sir, you need to tie your shoes. Well, he put his foot up on the dash up on the bumper of the car, the police car, to tie his shoe, but it was the wrong shoe. It was the shoe that was already tied. So he retied that one. He had a hard time holding his balance. Then he started to retie the other shoe, had a hard time keeping his foot up there. Couldn't get that shoe tied. And finally, the police officer said, sir, you can just take your shoes off if you'd like. And that's when Tiger took both of his shoes off and just left them on the side and he went barefoot.
Right.
So, I mean, the perceptions that we get and the conclusions that we draw from what these little excerpts that we see on TV are so misleading and draw us to conclusions that aren't accurate. So, I mean, I'm just one of the opinion. We just need to wait and see what happens. It's going to take at least a week, maybe 2 weeks, for this toxicology report to be printed. They purposely blacked out on the police report and on the audio when Tiger was questioned about what he'd been taking. They blacked that out, and that's for a reason. I'm not sure what that reason is.
Yeah.
But everything
well,
else was public
I'll give you a little insight.
except those drugs.
I'll give you maybe some insight into that. There have been prosecutors that have said that by him taking responsibility, saying he was on medicine, naming the medicine, that if he wanted to fight this in any way legally and say, oh, no, I was just really tired or I had just taken something else that made me groggy that wouldn't be considered DUI violation, he kind of put his foot in his mouth is what they're saying because he named what he was on. Again, I don't know. You know his personality, Steve. Do you think Tiger would fight this, or is he just going to – because very few people in the legal profession have said that they would in any way probably put him behind bars. They would give him some kind of probation and community work or something like that, like they would a lot of other people. But do you think he'll want to fight this, or will he want to just say, okay, here's what it was, bad combination, bad mistake, let's move on and take his punishment and move on from there, or do you think he will fight it?
No, I think he wants it to go away as quickly as possible. I mean, I'm not sure how that's accomplished, but yeah, he wants this to be done, and he's going to learn from it. Just a very, very unfortunate. I mean, here's a guy that wanted to write the last chapter of his book. You know, he wanted to end his career on his own terms. He was going to use golf as a platform to reach people around the world in many different areas. I'm not sure this is how he wants this book to end. You know, Michael Jordan, I brought it up yesterday. Michael Jordan is now a private person. He's no longer a public figure. He doesn't play basketball anymore. He was a guy. He was Tiger Woods before there was a Tiger Woods. And
right.
This being relevant and being in the public eye all the time and giving the perception and the illusion that you're going to come back and play golf, the illusion that he may even play in the U.S. Open before his fourth back surgery, the illusion that he wanted to play in the Masters, he didn't withdraw it to the very last minute, him saying in statements that I can't wait to get back out there and play, just fuels the fire of him being in the public you know, domain, and, you know, just the expectations that we have for a guy like Tiger is I'm not sure that he's going to be able to withstand the pressure.
Well, we'll see if he can. We're talking with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf, and Jack Nicklaus also mentioned during some of the news conferences with the Memorial, Steve, that he, over the course of a number of years, but certainly even recently, even at the Masters and the Champions Dinner, saw that Tiger was fighting pain, had issues, and recommended that he see a friend of his that he thought could seriously help. And he says Tiger's never really done that until recently. So is part of Tiger's issues, too, with his back, if you want to get into that, and whether he'll play golf, is there a stubbornness that people tried to help him and see if there's different ways of doing things rather than four surgeries of therapy, different weightlifting or not weightlifting and all that stuff? Jack seemed a little bit frustrated when he was addressing that. Like, I've tried as much as I can to help him physically with the problems he's had, and because the guy helped me with my back, and Jack had some very bad back issues, and Tiger just wanted to do what Tiger wanted to do, and I guess that's his norm, right?
Yeah, once he finds a direction, Tim, I mean, he tends to stick with it. He's not opposed to changing directions, but once he decides a path, he's going to go that path, and he decided to go the path of surgical techniques, you know, and along with that requires a lot of physical therapy, a lot of rest, a lot of healing. And like we've said in the past, you never hear of a golfer that we claim waited too long before he came back from a back injury. We always hear about guys coming back too early. So, you know, I mean, his path of, hey, I'm just going to, there's no rush. I'm progressing. I want to see this thing. You know, I want to see it heal. I've got to give the vertebrae a chance to fuse together. You know, I think that's his path. And he said not, you know, a week ago that his back has never felt better. I mean, he hadn't felt this good in a long time. So, I mean, we had hopes that he was healing. But obviously there's a lot more facets to Tiger Woods than just a fused spine. And, you know, just it's like the onion is being peeled a layer away at a time, and we're seeing, you know, the real guy, a guy that, you know, maybe a little bit lost.
Hmm. Well, you know,
did this surprise you, Steve?
Yes, surprises me a lot.
Good.
I mean, he was so different back, you know, up until 2010. He was. I could say he was a lot different. Even the part that the turning point was really the crash, the fire hydrant. From the fire hydrant on, he, you know, even when he came back and talked to the public in his statement, he says, you know, I'm going to come, if I do come back, I'm going to come back on my own terms, and I'm going to play for me rather than playing for others. You know, I think he had a change of heart. His dad had, you know, a big supporter, big, I mean, a guy that built Tiger up bigger than life. He built him up so much, it was almost like, you know, it wasn't that we put him on the pedestal. He was put on the pedestal, and he liked the pedestal. And he perpetuated that perception that he was bigger than life. And now, unfortunately, we're seeing that he is just like us. And that's sad.
Yeah, it is. It is sad. Well, Steve, I know you're gonna get to talk about this for another hour on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. It's just not going to go away, is it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You know what? In just a little preview on the PGA Champions, the PGA Tour Champions, big controversy going on right now on this anchoring putting. Two guys.
Oh yeah,
Bernard Longer and Scott McCarron, their techniques are becoming in question. I talked to the USGA Rules Department yesterday, and he said those two guys are the most inquiries from the public have been about those two guys, and there's an uproar on the PGA Tour Champions about their techniques, that they are not beyond reproach, that they look like anchoring, that they appear to be anchoring, and
oh boy!
A lot of the players are urging the officials to take care of it.
And by the way, Steve, just to clarify that, if you're holding your hand up, it can't touch your chest. Is that what they're suggesting? That somehow the hand
nothing below your elbow can be anchored on your body.
Right.
Now Hank tweeted out a picture of a video of Bernard Longer where it's very obvious that his forearm is right against his chest. His hand is not, but his forearm is. And he just posed the question, is this considered anchoring? So I sent the video to the USGA, and they did not comment.
Well, we'll see how that shakes out. That's going to be part of your show as well. The other part of that, and I don't want to get into that whole controversy, but, you know, people's shirts billow out, right? Wind blows, whatever.
Yep.
So what may look like it's touching is actually just touching your shirt. We've had that controversy for a long time as well. So good luck with that one, Steve. you can tackle that baby on your own with everybody that wants to call in and complain about that. Good luck. Have a great show today. And we'll talk to you again very soon.
Guys.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Have a great show.
Take care. See you, bud.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Steve Johnson with Hank Haney, and we'll be filling in for Hank
on his
SiriusXM show today.
He chopped me off at the knees, didn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think.
Well, I am sympathetic to Tiger. I mean, I don't know him as well. I know him. I don't know him as well as Steve does or Hank does. But, you know, I've played, I've met him at Sahali personally and played golf with him and been around him and had dinner with him. And he's. I feel for him, and as I said, I've had friends who have been through this. I've had two friends die from drug overdoses, and I've had two friends that are recovering alcoholics, and it slapped me in the forehead watching all that. That watch what you do and how much you do of it.
And that's his point.
I'm very sympathetic.
Yeah, Tiger could have hurt somebody, right? I mean, other than himself as well. And thank God that apparently he hasn't. I mean, again, we don't know what happened with the damage to the car, but assuming nobody reported anything.
He's bigger than life.
It was
there's
a serious
no doubt.
Thing.
It's serious. He's bigger than life.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to tell you, right here, right now, and you're probably not going to like this, but there are a whole lot of people who have been in jail for DUI, and you see these guys that are out there, they've been in jail 10, 12 times. For DUI, whether it's drug or alcohol or whatever, and they're still out there doing it. So something's wrong with our system somewhere. You know, something's wrong, and we got to fix it.
Yeah,
we got to fix it, and we got to help each other instead of tear each other down. Is my whole point. And that's what they're doing with this video, and that's why I did not watch it. Maybe I will probably have to go back and watch it now, because this is what we do.
I don't know that it's the people trying to tear him down as much as
try to figure
talk
him
about
out.
It, discuss it, and be knowledgeable about it, so you can say, well, yes, here's what I saw in the video, so you can talk about it intelligently. Not to say, I think Jack and everybody else is, and I agree, and I don't think many people would disagree. The world of golf is better with Tiger in it, so
no doubt.
It's not like, oh, here's another stake in the coffin of Tiger Woods and he's going to go away and we're all so happy about it. It's sad. It was sad when it happens to anybody that's in the public eye in any sport that we cover or we talk about sports, politicians or whatever. So it's not, whether you like Tiger or not, or you like what he's done, nobody likes to see this. So hopefully it leads to him changing some things and figuring things out. Not getting in a car when he shouldn't be getting into a car, and all that stuff.
Sure.
And we'll see where it takes them with the golf world, because I think a lot of people are looking at it and say, well, there's no chance he's going to come back and be anything close to a tour player of any kind of caliber. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. It could be the greatest comeback story in history, or it could be just like a lot of people think, which is he's just going to kind of fade away and he'll be part of the fiber of golf for a long time, Ryder Cups and President's Cups and things like that, and I'm sure be captain of numerous teams. But his playing days, we'll see. So, it's not where we want to be, but more stories will come out. We'll hear what he has to say a little bit down the road too, as far as fighting this or not fighting it, or what comes out in the drug analysis as well. So, hey, by the way, Frank, not to shift gears too quickly, but I wanted to congratulate the Boomer Sooners.
The
men won the NCAA Golf Championship, beat the defending champion Oregon yesterday in Sugar Grove, Illinois. So congratulations to the Sooners. It's only their second national championship. The last one was on their home course in I believe, 1989. So it's been quite a while between championships for Oklahoma, but they did it yesterday and beat Oregon. So 3-1-1, by the way, the finals in those matches. So I love watching college golf.
I do too.
One of your old Miss guys is won the individual.
The individual, he sure did. Can you believe it? And we didn't even qualify. Our team didn't, but he did fabulous. Yeah. And he has a homemade swing, by the way. So
sure does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just real.
He makes Lee Trevino look like Adam Scott.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that.
It's like he's falling over on every swing, and yeah. It goes right at the pin.
Oh,
right?
He screws himself into the ground. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't think it's.
I don't think it'll hold up
over time. I mean, personally, I don't think it will. It may. I mean, you know, he's better than I am. There's no doubt about that. But congratulations.
By the way, I think he got an invite to your next tournament. I think he's going to Memphis.
I think he's coming to Memphis. Yes, I'll see him there. Memphis is the largest Ole Miss booster club in the country, in Memphis, Tennessee. So
there you go. Well, no surprise they would invite him.
Yeah,
they're so happy
to
have a guy from Ole Miss be the NCAA golf champion.
Yeah, I'll be over there next week.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, this can be exciting.
It'll be fun to be back in Memphis.
You're heading over that way.
Barbecue, Pancho's cheese dip, rendezvous ribs. Of course, Fred, Albers, Doug Bell.
Get out of the house.
The whole crew will be there, so we'll all have to go to the rendezvous for dinner again and have some fun. Doug won't let me drive him around in the golf cart to do his play-by-play anymore. I scared him to death last year. I know the course very well, really? So I know all the little back tricks in getting around that course. And so the volunteer that was going to drive Doug said, can Frank take me? Said, Frank's part of our, you know, he's part of our group here. And the guy said, yeah. So I take Doug over at one hill, and he almost goes out of the golf cart onto his nose. anyway, it's going to be fun.
Tree branches are slapping him in the face and everything.
Well,
I'll get you there, Doug.
You know, for our listeners, a lot of them really don't realize, you know, on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, our PGA Tour Radio play-by-play team, which you're part of, I mean, it's tough to get around because you've got to maneuver through all the crowds and get in a spot where you can – you know, call the golf, and you have to hold that clipboard up in front of your mouth so they don't hear you on the green when you're close to the green, and then
most of the people are on the cart path, so it's like you can't just go patiently down a cart path because you'll never get to the green.
You get ready
for them, so you
go through the woods and through the creeks and all over the place. So.
You got to be kind of clever.
Real great story about the RPGA Tour play-by-play team. Fred Albers, you know, we love Fred. Fred's the best. Fred's driver, and I won't mention tournaments or whatever, but several years ago, Fred has a backpack that he keeps with him in the cart. And it had his laptop in it and all sorts of stuff, but it sits in that cart. Well, for our listeners, the play-by-play team, they all have drivers that are usually volunteers that are local people who know that course to get them around it. Well, Fred's driver was more interested in watching golf than he was watching the cart. And he drops Fred off, and Fred says, okay, you go up there and park the cart, and I'll be up there in a minute, up the hill there. So long story short, he looks around, and there his driver is standing about 10 feet from him watching golf, and he says, where's the cart? And he turns around and goes, and it was gone. Some patron who had overserved got in that cart and drove off.
Wow.
And he went to his mother's house on the golf course to use the restroom. So here you go. Here come the police. You know, the guy's stolen a golf cart. He's got Fred's laptop. Oh, man. It's a great story. Yeah. Fred tells it very, very well. We need to get Fred on the show to tell it sometime, but it's pretty funny. Yeah, have you had any incidents when you're doing play-by-play out there? With the Gator, maybe,
in
Mississippi?
I stayed away from the Gator, for sure, or the Gators. There are several on that golf course, but... No, nothing really that colorful. I did. Some people get mad at you because they think you're kind of being, you know, one-upping them. Like, oh, you get to go by, or you get to go under the ropes, and we don't, or whatever.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be rude to anybody, but at the same time, you kind of have to get where you got to go. You know, because they're like, okay, we need to call on the next screen, and you got to be there in about 45 seconds, and so you kind of have to, you know, cut. You feel like you're O.J. Simpson on a football field, right? I mean, I could have picked another football player, right?
Yeah, should
Adrian
have picked
Peterson
somebody else
on a football field.
There you go.
Yeah.
Better.
You're cut.
Better.
You're going back and you're just doing everything you can to get through everybody to get there. And so once in a while, you come close because people are walking away from you. They don't always know you're right on top of them. And as you go by them, you can just see they shake. They're like, "Oh God, where'd that come from?" Like, you know, you're scaring people as you breeze by them. But you know, luckily, I haven't hit anybody yet.
Oh,
I usually drive myself. I'll say that I usually drive myself because I'm probably too impatient or whatever to wait
no.
for it. I've had a few drivers.
Not
oh,
you.
I've had a few drivers, and yeah. And they'll sit there and they'll go, okay. And they patiently wait for everybody to get out of the way. And I'm like, you can't wait for everybody. By the time
don't
we
go,
do
go.
That, they'll be finished putting. We're out of here. We can't. So you got to kind of, excuse me. Pardon me. You know, you got to be like that and say it loudly and hopefully politely, but you got to get their attention and get by them. So anyway, yeah, usually.
Well,
I'm gunning it. Put a horn in that thing. I'd be better.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, just carry an air horn with you next time you do play-by-play and just...
As if I don't scare
of course, everybody will leave the course. You know, that's uh-oh, there's a rain
you go
delay.
To Memphis.
Yeah. Memphis.
When you go to Memphis.
Yeah.
For the tournament.
Yeah.
Will they be using Golf Genius? Do they use that at that course?
They do use Golf Genius there. Absolutely. Golf Genius software.
Really?
GolfGenius.com,
What is that?
Golf Genius. Well, Golf Genius was used by head pros to manage over 2 million rounds in 2016. It's software for golf course management, for tournament management. It has mobile apps, live leaderboards, a huge variety of competitive formats, integration with your existing golf shop software, as well as it can be used for golf leagues and individuals and golf trips and all that. GolfGenius.com. I would urge our listeners to check it out. It's really cool software. They're a proud sponsor of Golf Talk America. Still, I can't believe it, but they are. Because you have to remind me to do the live reads. But no, Golf Genius software, GolfGenius.com. Check it out. It's great stuff. And the USGA has collaborated with Golf Genius software to revamp the entire Gen system. So the handicap system that will be using Golf Genius software. Really cool stuff. And yes, Memphis does use it. So
there you go.
That'll be good. But as a side note to Golf Genius and French Lick and everybody and the Azalea House and all of our friends there, Poncho's cheese dip. You knew that was coming, didn't you? You knew it.
Why did I know?
Check
that was
out.
Coming?
They don't sponsor us. They don't do anything for us. That's just the best cheese dip in the world. Poncho's cheese dip in Memphis. You can order it online. Man, it is good stuff. I brought back $200 worth of it last time I went to Memphis. I mean, I just bought it all.
Let me just ask you though. Does cheese keep like that? If you order it online and they ship you cheese, it'll keep.
They
okay.
fed it. It's FedEx and dry ice to you. It's FedEx, yeah, and dry ice to you.
Wow. You got to really want some cheese to get FedEx some cheese dip.
I'm telling you,
to your house.
Tim, I'm going to.
It's that good, huh, Frank? It changes your world.
It does. It's that good. I grew up eating it. I mean, Poncho's restaurant was a hole in the wall in West Memphis, Arkansas, and we used to go over there and eat the Poncho's Mexican food and Poncho's cheese dip. And then they have a taco sauce too. I know we're way off the rails here.
Good Lord.
They've got
sweet
mustard based taco sauce too. And they're not a sponsor. I need to send them a clip of this and see if they'll send us a check.
Yeah, all right.
Or
send,
some
they'll,
dip.
They'll send you a tub of it. Here's a gallon, 5 gallons.
I used to buy 5 gallon
Memphis,
bags. Yeah.
Memphis is once again, it comes in a bag. Somehow it seems like wine, right? You're getting cheese dip in a bag.
It's
okay.
Good
I'm not gonna say anything.
Stuff.
Memphis actually, and I have not spent a lot of time in Memphis, but from Memphis, you're obviously in Tennessee, but you're also, what, like 20 minutes to Arkansas, about another 10 minutes to Mississippi? You're kind of right there where three states come together, aren't you?
Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee all come together right there at the Mississippi River Bridge in south of it, the Mississippi
River.
And so
is there like a major battleground there as far as what people are loyal to, who they're loyal to? Because you've got three different states. Proud states right there.
Well, you've got Memphis State, which is the University of Memphis now. I've always called it Memphis State, based there. You have, of course, there's nothing close in Arkansas. The University of Arkansas is on the other side of the state of Arkansas, on the western side. Arkansas State University is in northeastern Arkansas. Wachita Baptist College is in south central Arkansas. But then you have a little school right down the road about an hour and 40 minutes outside of Memphis in Lafayette County, Mississippi, not Lafayette, but Lafayette County, Mississippi, called Ole Miss. And that really is the big man on campus around Memphis is Ole Miss.
So a lot of Ole Miss people in Memphis.
A lot of alumnus.
More so than you think than Tennessee, University of Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Crowd?
No,
it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once you get to Nashville, Tennessee cuts off after Nashville. They don't consider Memphis part of Tennessee. I mean, it's very – there are three states here. Okay, you've got Memphis, you've got Nashville, and you've got Knoxville. So yeah, there are three states, and there's different styles of golf courses all across this state. So for those people who are listening, hopefully or possibly, and they should be, Penguins fans, whatever. There's some great golf courses in Nashville to play also. The Hermitage is one of the best public courses anywhere. The General's Retreat and the President's Reserve, two great golf courses. Golf Club of Tennessee, it's private, but if you're broke, and get you on there. It's a great track. It's where the Vinnies played every year. And then you have Vanderbilt Legends Club here. There's some great golf courses in Nashville to play for our Penguins fans that are coming to watch the Predators beat them. So... Yeah, man. Yeah. So, but you know, we've talked about the Memorial and how big a tournament is this that's going on in Dublin, Ohio, right now.
Giving a few updates. A few updates, by the way.
What's happening with
and
it
it's
right
early
now?
On as we're recording our show here. It's early, but some guys are playing pretty well. Daniel Summerhays, David Lingworth, and Justin Thomas are all 4-under. So, and they're only have played 8, 7, 5 holes, so it's early going, but it looks like the scores are going to be pretty low. In Dublin, Ohio, at Muirfield Village, which, as you've said, Jack, wherever he designs a golf course, it makes it tough. So if you can go, heck, if you can go 4, 5, 6 under for a round at one of Jack's courses, you're doing pretty good. So I was watching a little bit earlier.
Tough.
The wind doesn't seem to be a factor. It seems like a nice day outside of Columbus. So I think it's probably going to be as easy as it's as you're ever going to get it. So Bubba Watson just made another birdie at number 6. So. He is also, I'm sorry, on his 6th hole, so he's at 3-under now. Jordan Spieth at 2-under. So, great golfers, too. Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Reed, Fowler, John Rahm, Jason Day, all the guys are playing in this tournament. So, it's going to be very interesting to see who makes it through the weekend. The problem with Spieth, as we talked about at both the Byron Nelson and Colonial, as they're making their Texas two-step, Spieth has had trouble, although he very nearly pulled it out at Dean and DeLuca. In the first rounds, right? His struggles have been Thursdays and Fridays, where he's barely made the cut at Colonial and then almost won the tournament. But he's doing pretty good so far today. So he's at 2-under through 5 holes. And so we'll see if he has a decent round today and tomorrow. Or one of these guys, any of these guys have trouble making the cut. I'll tell you what, though, and we talked with Bob Bubka earlier in the week, and John Rahm has got his attention, my attention, yours, and so many other people. He's on my leaderboard now. When you can kind of customize on PGAtour.com, customize your leaderboard
absolutely.
That you get your favorites right up there that you can see all your guys. He's on mine now. He wasn't before, but because I thought he was a flash in the pan, Frank. But you know what? I think he's going to stick. I'm going to get John Rahm on my leaderboard.
Well, fantasy, the fantasy golf too, the PGA Tour fantasy. That's
sure.
That's pretty cool to play.
Who wouldn't want that guy?
Yeah, I mean, good Lord, what a player!
He's so good though. And I think Rahm is a guy that everybody's got to keep their eyes on. So, top 10 player in the world out of nowhere, even though he played at Arizona State, very good college player, and people knew about him. But unless you really were following golf, you would have known John Rahm. And I also want to give him props because, as I said, I watched him in a practice round when he was at the Dean and DeLuca. So nice and helping. The other players look for their balls on a couple of occasions. Young fans would come by the ropes. He would make a point of going over towards them because he knew they couldn't get to him and seeing if they wanted an autograph or a high five. Anyway, just a great guy. So it's neat to see a good young 22-year-old that not only a phenomenal golfer but seems to be a lot of fun and shares his emotion, which I appreciate. We talk about this in golf a lot, that some guys are a little bit stiff and rigid. You don't really tell. Dustin Johnson, you couldn't tell if he shot 90 or shot a 60, right? It's the same face, the same reaction either way. John Rahm misses a putt, and it's like he wants to bite his hand off, right? He's just like, oh, I can't believe it. He puts his hand up to his head, and I'm like, it's not a bad thing. It's funny. I like it. He lets it out.
And then Jordan Spieth is like, come on, Jordan.
He pumps his fist when he makes one.
Come on, Jordan. He talks to himself.
Jordan throws you off, doesn't he?
Jordan will sit
there and go, oh, after he hits a shot, and he's like 12 feet from the pin. And you're like, were you hoping it was 4 feet?
I mean, now the classic
person. He gets so mad sometimes on good shots.
He does, but the person who does it the most is Hideki Matsuyama. He hits a shot, and it's 1 foot from the pin, and he doesn't like it. It should have been in. I mean,
he lets one hand go, and he kind of drops one hand on the club, and you're like, oh, this one's going to be in the creek.
Yeah.
And it goes bang, 5 feet from the stick, and you're like, okay.
Well, it's going to be a fun day of golf at the Memorial. That's a beautiful. It looks fabulous on TV. It's even prettier in real life. But I might have to have a milkshake just in honor of the memorial today, as I'm going out to hit my vertical groove driver. Do you have yours yet?
I have not gotten it. Apparently, I don't know who's shipping it. Can't be FedEx. We know how good they are.
Good.
So it must be coming through Bupka mail.
I'm glad you didn't say the competitor.
Bob, apparently. Yeah, put it on a moving van with somebody delivering their furniture in a month and a half or something. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well,
it's Bob's company. Bob's a sponsor, Vertical Groove. So I'm anxious to take a look at it. I'm anxious for you to give me some feedback too. You haven't hit it yet, have you?
I'm on my way after we finish this show. I'm out to the club. I'm going to hit some balls today. I'll be playing in the Heimerdinger, a charity event on the 16th. I'm sorry, the 16th here. A lot of folks come in. Yeah, bless you. Mike Heimerdinger he died of cancer. He was a coach with the Tennessee Titans for years, and best friends with Shanahan and Fisher, and Jeff Fisher, the coach, and Mike Shanahan, the coach. And we'll have a lot of celebrities in. It's a great fundraising event. Heimerdinger, they feed people with cancer. They put meals together that are
great.
They're great. You know,
when's the tournament
to help them? It'll be next Friday. It's the 16th. Excuse me. It's two Fridays, the 16th. So I've got to get ready for that because Jeff Fisher and I have a rolling bet every year, and I'm not giving him money this year. I'm going to take money from Jeff Fisher. He's got plenty of it. So
you got 2 weeks to get ready is what you're saying.
I got 2 weeks to get ready for this thing. Yeah. So probably need to send my swing to Steve Johnson. Hey, before we go,
a good point.
For
good
our
point.
Listeners – yeah, if they want to take a video just of their swing from behind, have a friend do it. How do they? What are they? What's the deal with Steve and Hank Haney Golf? What will they do?
You know, this is a really good question, and I wish I had a good answer for you. And I'm not sure. There is at Hank Haney Golf, it's like send. But if you go to their website, go to HankHaney.com. It probably has it there, but it's like a. myswing@hankhaney.com, something like that, but I'm not sure exactly.
But they
what
do
it
for
is.
Free, right?
Before
you
he left.
You send them your swing and they give feedback
for
free.
We'll get the information to you, but I think if you go to this website, it'll probably give it to you, but for free. So you just have your buddy on his phone, shoot a video of you from behind hitting a ball or even swinging. You could do it in your backyard, and they will analyze it for you, the people at Hank Haney Golf, and tell you, you need to do this, change it, whatever, and they're very good about it. It won't cost you a dime, and they get back to you quickly. It's not like you're going to find out about this next December. They'll get back to you within probably 24 hours, 48 hours with some suggestions. So, and they even sometimes attach another video, like of a pro, and they'll say, okay, here is Justin Thomas, his swing. See what we're talking about? Do this with your backswing or whatever.
I'm going to do that today.
Detailed.
I'm going to do that today.
Really helpful.
Send it to Steve.
Yeah, very helpful. By the way, we talked about Vertical Groove before we go. We're putting together a, for the listeners here, keep listening because we're going to have a giveaway.
Yeah.
And thanks to the people at Vertical Groove and Bob Bupka, his sponsor, they're going to give us a driver, a Vertical Groove driver that John Daly, right out of the box almost, of using his Vertical Groove driver, won the Insperity down in Houston.
Kenny Perry's
his first
playing
tournament that he won.
Rocco Media's playing
senior. So,
yeah.
Exactly.
Champions. A lot of folks.
So, we'll be giving one of those away, and we'll do it through, we'll tell you how to do it. So we'll give you a little bit of notice here, but leading up to the U.S. Open. So keep listening, and you too could be hitting the Frank Bassett version of the vertical groove.
That would be nine degree stiff shaft, oversized grip.
There you go.
There you go. So that would be Frank.
Perfect.
So, yeah, I can't wait to get out there today and play. I'm going to go play a course I don't usually play. I'm not going to play my home club, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to play with one of the top musicians in the business, period, in the world. So I'll tell you about it afterwards. So we'll see how we do out there. It's going to be fun. I'll probably come home broke because he's really good. He's really good. So
hate that. Hate that.
Anyway, I know.
Let's play some music.
No, well.
We are done.
You know what? You read the producer's mind. Go ahead. Sorry.
I did. Somebody hit the button right there. I'd like to thank Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for being with us and giving us some insight into the Tiger Woods situation. We'll talk more with Steve again next week and get more updates on that one. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate each and every one of you listening to us every day right here on Golf Talk America. Please join us next time. Until then, have a great day.